Blog Talk Radio.
Black Hole Radio presents Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness with your hosts, Rudolph Muhammad and Yusuf Muhammad.
People get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers calling. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan. Coast to coast, faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's hope for all among love and most.
Blessings, peace and blessings, greetings. In the name of the Most High God, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. We thank him for his merciful intervention in the affairs of men, in the person of Master W. Fahd Muhammad. Could never thank him enough for finding one and raising one, and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And certainly and most indeed, we could never thank them enough for leaving with us in this dispensation of time their divine reminder in the person of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet you with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the language of our ancestors. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you so much. For those who may not be familiar with that greeting, it simply means peace be unto you and unto you be peace in English. So disaster awareness for community preparedness, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, along with my dear brother, Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad, the other co-hosts, and we are eternally grateful for our listening audience, you who are our first-time listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Those of you who are consistent and constant, we thank you for the honor of your ear and the privilege of your presence. We here at Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness come before us, you, the world, every Friday from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Praise be to the Most High God, and we thank you, thank you, thank you once again for your participation and your contribution in any way. We thank Most High, the Supreme Being, for this opportunity to thank Black Hole Radio, LLC, for doing all that they do. And for you who are listening, certainly, we want you to share with your database, your network system, if you will, the number 563-999-3089. And, of course, if you've called in, you already know the number. But you can also share the particulars in terms of the email address, if you will, and that is blogtalkradio.com/blackholeradio, WHOLE, /disaster awareness standards. This is a weekly program, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that wants you to become self-reliant and taking appropriate action in response to any emergency. As the gospel singer Hezekiah Walker would say, we need you to survive. This program promotes in public outreach to inform, to educate, and to train all people and how to best prepare for, respond to, and recover from all emergencies. Our objective is to ensure that everyone of disaster preparedness can help you to determine the best choices in any emergency response to avert danger and to save lives. Our vision is that each individual citizen, including every capable man, woman, and child, understand their personal responsibility for the safety of themselves, their family, and the overall well-being of the larger community. So once again, we thank you for tuning in to another weekly edition of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. At this time, it gives me great pleasure to bring before the line our co-host, Brother Rudolph T. Muhammad, who will carry us further into the program. Brother Rudolph?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Yusuf. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Praise be to Allah. Peace to all who are on the line. Let me begin with the customary opening saying that I bear witness there is no God but God. And I bear witness that Muhammad is indeed his messenger. I try to bear witness that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad has been with and blessed. And I thank both of them, Master Farid Muhammad and the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, for leaving the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as a guide in our midst. This dispensation of time to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, to protect us, and to be a mercy, divine instruction and chastisement of Almighty God Allah. So in those three great names, Master Farid Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I greet the family of Muhammad, the well-wishers of Muhammad, the supporters of Muhammad, and the detractors of Muhammad. In the greeting words of peace and prayer tonight, as-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Yes, and I want to take this time right now before anything else happens to thank our engineers and the owners of the Black Hole Radio Network for providing a spot, a state, an avenue for you and I to come through every week in order to get this information out to our listeners. This is a labor of love that we do, family, and we enjoy doing it because we genuinely love each other and love each other's company. So this makes the task hard to do. It's actually an enjoyable task because we are working together, and we are lifting, elevating, and enlightening our people at the same time. To whom much is given, much is required.
Mm-hmm.
This week on the show, in about 20 minutes, we'll have a special guest host on, and with a topic that we talk about on a regular basis, but I think it will be so good to get it from a different perspective. As our brother Barry used to say, it's the same, just reheated. Well, you know, you can reheat bean soup as long as you, and it's got time to reheat, and the bowl is just as good every time. So we'll just wait for her to come on, and we'll enjoy her presentation. But before that, let me just get this out, because we're still in the midst of, you know, COVID-19 and all that's going on. You know, I want the people that's on the line listening, do not be deceived. The BS and the flood of propaganda that is out there. No vaccine is going to save you. I don't care whether it's Merck, whether it's Johnson & Johnson, whether it's Pfizer. I don't care which of those pharmaceutical companies come up with, whatever concoction they come up with. Their goal, their aim and purpose is not to save nor cure you. It is to cull the population. Make no mistake about that. And so with that being said, it is on you to do your due diligence to protect yourself and those that you love, and to fight fiercely, take your life, and take the lives of those that you are charged to protect, to steward, and to further along in their existence on the earth. With that being said, remember, COVID-19, that's the code word for this pandemic we are in. And the important things to remember, social distancing, 6 feet or better, is the thing. Okay, 6 feet or better. Stay out of crowds. If they're not people who share your living space with you on a daily basis, it doesn't matter whether they're blood relatives or not. It doesn't matter who they are. If they do not inhabit your living place, 6 feet or better, a mask is very important. Whether it's an N95, whether it's a KN95, whether it's a surgical mask, whether it's a cloth mask, some type of respiratory protection to, one, keep you safe from others, but two, keep others safe from you. Hand washing, constant hand washing. Yes, the alcohol-based sanitizers are good when there's no water around, but if it's a choice between alcohol-based sanitizer and soap and water, go for the soap and water. It's always better to wash your hands with warm water and antimicrobial soap and save the hand sanitizer for when there's no water around. And, of course, anytime your hands are soiled, then definitely wash your hands with soap and water. If you're wearing rubber gloves throughout the course of your day, as much as possible, try not to keep the gloves on for extended periods of time, because what happens is you have skin breakdown under the glove because the moisture is constantly there, and that's the avenue for bacteria and germs to grow on. So if you take the gloves off, wash your hands. And then make sure that you're using some type of lubricant on your skin to keep it moist and keep the skin from cracking. The other thing is to remember to, if you're going to sanitize your home or surfaces in your home or office, okay, 1 gallon of water, tablespoons of bleach, or 4 teaspoons of bleach to 1 quart of water are the recommended strength to use for 70% alcohol-based liquid is what's best to use, and to give this a chance to dry, because that will help it to kill bacteria that's on the surface. You know, I'll start with that. What's in brief or whatever announcements that you may have while I get in touch with our guest.
Yes, sir, Brother Rudolph. Thank you so much, sir. I just want to buttress what you were saying relative to the vaccines. You know, our listening audience might not even believe that there's a U.S. policy on depopulation. Well, you won't be able to say we didn't inform you here on disaster awareness for community preparedness. Then there may be a portion of our listening audience that don't believe that U.S. healthcare practices have historically abused and killed people of color. Of course, many of us are quite aware of the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, where our dear brother, the musician, poet, Brother Gil Scott Heron, said Tuskegee 626, scientists getting their kicks, their brothers you dig are guinea pigs for vicious experiments. Well, you might not believe it, but you won't be able to say we didn't try to inform you. There may be some who don't believe that the misuse and abuse of vaccines could possibly be this, as Brother Rudolph said, a propaganda media campaign, where it's almost as if because of our comorbidities or existing health deficiency, our people feel as though I got to take it because of those pre-existing conditions that they have. But you have to really understand what questions you should be asking your doctor before you take the vaccine. And that being said, I'm recommending that you go to a website entitled Medical Racism. Medical Racism. It is a program produced by Robert Kennedy Jr. and others that speak to the points I'm speaking of. So we want you to know that as well. You know, the choice is yours. The life you save may be your own, as my biological father would say. So we also want you to know that should something go wrong with you taking the vaccination, there is or you have no legal right if you suffer injury or death from a vaccine. You know, in 1986, the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program was something that spoke to that. And this blanket protection under the PREP, P-R-E-P Act, went into effect February 4, 2020, before most of the public was even aware of COVID-19. The World Health Organization did not declare COVID-19 a pandemic, until 1 month later, March 11th of 2020. So you can look up PREP Act to bear witness to what I'm saying. And last but not least, you know, we pride ourselves in being a solution-based. So as Brother Rudolph was saying earlier, remember the three W's. Wear your mask, watch your distancing, and wash your hands. Because I know you're asking the question, justifiably so. So if I don't take the vaccine, what am I to do? Well, practice external measures to guard your health. As I said earlier, be sure to wear a mask in public places and when not at home. Practice social distancing when in public. Wash your hands regularly. Clean, sanitize, and disinfect your home regularly, especially in high-traffic areas and high-touch surfaces. I know you're saying, Brother Youssef, you just said that. Brother Rudolph just said we believe repetition is the mother of learning and a reminder benefits and is a mercy for the believer. So if I don't take the vaccine, what am I to do? Adopt a healthy lifestyle. Maintain a healthy diet of fruits and vegetables that are rich in vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and phytonutrients such as vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, quercetin, and other immune-boosting nutrients. Spend time in the sun regularly to enable the body to produce vitamin D when necessary with your health care provider. I know many people are bearing witness to the dietary supplement Paximmune, Paximmune, as something that has been an advantage for those who, prior to getting the COVID, during COVID and post-COVID, many users of the Paximmune bear witness to that particular supplement. You should exercise regularly, get adequate sleep, stay hydrated, and fast to improve overall health, to minimize stress. So just wanted to share that with our listening audience. Also, I humbly suggest you go to NOI.org and listen to last week's presentation from Mosque Miriam by student minister Nuri Muhammad, entitled The Diet of God, and he gives, in my humble opinion, very good advice as to how we can build our immune system up and guard ourselves from this pandemic, this pestilence from heaven, and the vaccines. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You might also have witnessed, those of you who are our regular listeners, that Brother Rudolph had a certain tonality in his voice where he wasn't speaking in his jovial tone. That's because he's still working, boots on the ground. So we thank Almighty God for Brother Rudolph and his sacrifice. He's in the hospital as this program is being brought to you this week. So that was the reason for the tonality and the volume of his voice being different than normal and at a lower volume, if you will, cadence. But as he mentioned, we look forward to hearing from our guest this week, Sister Sajda Muhammad out of Detroit, Michigan, who will give us her subject, Disaster Preparedness on a Budget, Learn How To. You know, it reminds me, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, of a FEMA survey that they put out about a year or two ago. They engaged with other partners because, again, disaster preparedness, brothers and sisters, is about community involvement, community investment, community partnership, and community risk reduction. And so their survey asked the question, how do we overcome barriers to perceive preparedness? In their survey, the results were 17% believe getting info is too difficult. Well, if you don't get the info, when disaster strikes, it may be too late. And then sometimes guilt arises. I knew I should have, could have, would have, should have. No, you have time, all the time that there is. Take one step towards disaster preparedness and you'll be surprised how many people around you want to do the same. So 17% in the survey said believing getting information was too difficult. That's why we appreciate Black Hole Radio LLC for allowing us to come weekly before you, our listening audience, to tell you the four basic things you could and should consider in terms of disaster awareness for community preparedness. Become aware before you prepare. Get the info, number one. Number two, develop a plan. Number three, establish a go bag or survival kit, both for if you have to evacuate or if you have to shelter in place. Have something in your car where you work. Know the policy of the school, if you're not homeschooling your children, wherever they go to school, know the policy of the school should a disaster strike, what will happen. So So these are the things. That survey went on to say that 18% don't think they have time to prepare. Well, there's a whole lot of things you can say about time. And those who listen to this show know how much music and lyrics of music mean a lot to me. And, you know, there was a group out of Chicago called Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they had a song, In the Stone, and they said in the lyric, time will witness what the old folks say. And sure enough, if we listened to our elders, they told us we'd be living in a time like this. Then there was another group out of Chicago called Chicago, and their lyric was, does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Well, brothers and sisters, don't be of those who don't care. Don't be like the grasshopper who's living for the moment. Be like the ant. Study the ant, O thou sluggard, and become wise. For the ant prepares for the winter in the summer and prepares for the summer in the winter. So, time. You better get right at this time while the time is good, for it might not be no next time. So, you know, for those who were in the Dallas, Texas area, the Oklahoma surrounding states, those who are in the South right now, there are a lot of tornadoes that came through in the last 48 hours. For those who are in the Southeast, through Atlanta, North and South Carolina, even in Virginia this morning, it went from rain to hail to sunshine. Peculiar weather all over the United States of America. Let us prepare. You do have time. My biological father used to say the life you save may be your own time. In this survey, 24% said they don't know how to get prepared. Well, tune in every week. Tune in every week. Call in at 563-999-3089. Share it with your family. Share it with your friends. Share it with your database. I know the conversation might not be as sexy talk as you used to hear in talk shows, but, you know, the hip-hop artist, I believe it was Black Keith, that said, you can get with this or you can get with that. I'm going to get with this. Disaster awareness for community preparedness is where it's at. So this is what it's about, brothers and sisters. You know how to get prepared. Just take the initiative and tune in every week at blogtalkradio.com/blackholeradio.com/disaster awareness for community preparedness. And back to FEMA's survey, they said 26% believe preparing. And look, that's why we're so glad, Lord willing, we'll have our guests this afternoon, this evening, or this morning, depending where you are on the planet. Sister Sajda Muhammad, who will give us her disaster preparedness on a budget, learning how to. Well, brothers and sisters, I just wanted to give a baseline assessment of where we are, develop a framework, and then we'll unpack some content and put it into context. So I don't know if my brother Rudolph is back. If so, beloved, the floor is yours. Apparently in his multitasking, he is unable to get back, but I know when he comes back, we'll be made aware. We have scheduled our dear sister to be on in a few minutes, but let me share this about what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said about disaster preparedness. And I quote, he said, those who are scripturally prepared know that it is prophesied that we would be living in a time of wars and rumors of war, pestilence, famine, and earthquakes in diverse places. We are witnessing terrifying disasters afflicting the peoples of the world, and those disasters are now afflicting the United States of America. Believing that those prophecies will be fulfilled, it is our duty to learn as much as we can on disaster preparedness and do all we can to prepare the American people, and our people in particular, for the coming disasters, unquote, from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So look, brothers and sisters, until Brother Rudolph comes back, what about acquiring skills to survive? We say disaster awareness for community preparedness is like spirituality and education. By that, we mean it's degree by degree. Of course, a novice wants to begin by preparing for him or herself and their family at least for 3 days. And then depending on your level of wanting to be as best prepared as possible, there are some called preppers who are on the other end of the spectrum, where 3 months is minimal for them. So all of us fall somewhere in between. But what about establishing skills? You know, there was a list that came out that if you had to establish skills in order to provide for your family food, clothing, and shelter, practical skills you can develop that will also pay well in times of survival. But in times of survival, that barter system is a system that will be to your benefit if you have acquired certain skills. That really doesn't cost much, just effort. What about fishing?
Wa alaikum salam.
And hunting. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
I'm grateful, sister. I see. How are you, ma'am?
Ah, praises due to Allah. I am so very grateful to be on this side of the dirt and with Minister
right.
Farrakhan. I cannot complain.
Your the light of the sun coming off of you, my dear sister, is coming through the studio. Trust and believe. I feel your warmth.
Oh, praise.
And we were just talking about how to strengthen our immune system by getting our vitamin D up. Go out in
That's
the sun.
Right.
So I thank you for bringing those beautiful sun rays to disaster awareness for community preparedness. Now, it sounds like our guest is with you?
Yes, she is, and I'm going to do my humble best to properly introduce her to some and present her to others. So let me start properly. In the most holy name of Allah, God, who appears in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, in the name of our divine Christ, who is now elevated to God's status, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and in the name of the one that is backed by those two, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it is my esteemed pleasure to present to some and to introduce to others our wonderful pioneer from Muhammad Mosque number one by way of by way of Chicago, by way of this sister is truly a sister who is a sister to all. When I first came to Muhammad Mosque number one way back in 1989, a college student, a young teen, trying to get the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to come to our campus at Michigan State University, I got a shout out, Sister Victoria Muhammad from Chicago. She was the only Muslim member of the Nation of Islam on the entire 41,000 student campus of Michigan State University. But when she walked, she definitely walked heavy on the earth. I've never seen a more fearless woman. And I said, God, I got to know more about this. Didn't think I wanted to join, but I knew I wanted to learn more. In 1990, Minister Farrakhan did come to Michigan State University and speak and shook the foundation of the school and set off some student uprising. And we was fired up after he left and empowered. So I went to the mosque and continued to visit. The generous believers would come and pick us up as long as it was at least 5 of us. They would drive down and pick us up. I always had 10, 11. They said, Sister Lucille, we told you 5. There's a minivan. I said, well, I invited 10 to make sure I had 5, but then all 10 would come. So then they had to bring a bigger van. So when we get down to the mosque, we meet Sister Sajda. She was using a different name now, then, but now she is using her proper name sister Sajda Marian Muhammad. This sister right here, when I say is one of the sisters who bows down, who prays to a living God, Master Farah Muhammad, who believes in everything that the Christ ever taught us, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And if Minister Farrakhan say go, she go. And if he say stay from, she stays from. She was teaching disaster preparedness back then on a budget. She showed us we could go out and buy $1,000 kit if we had the money, but we didn't have to do that. She showed us Honorable Elijah Muhammad's disaster preparedness plan by showing us we already had everything we needed right in our cupboard. She showed us the dual uses of things that we already had. She also taught us a little martial arts on the side, but we're not going to go into that today. She also taught us how to survive. We ain't going to go into that today. She taught us how to make something out of nothing, but that's not the subject today. So I present to some and introduce to others one of the baddest black women that could ever speak during Women's Month, during any time of the year. This is one of the most humble sisters with some of the highest ranking mathematical theology that I've ever met. She will blow you away in a simple conversation, but she's so humble because she does it all for the praise of Allah and none for herself. So please put your hands together and open your heart for one of our wonderful pioneers. And if you look on some of the NOI archive footage, you'll literally see her sitting in the audience holding one of her babies on her lap. She's been around from the ground up. I love her so much. Please, Sister Sajda Muhammad, share your love for the teachers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with the entire listening audience. I love you so much, Mom. Go right ahead. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I love you so much. Thank you for such, oh wow, such a beautiful introduction. I'm honored. It's such an honor. I like to say in the name of Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and in the name of thy Christ right here on earth, the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad, I say assalamu alaikum. I say welcome. Thank you so much for allowing me on the show. And I'll do my best to try to share some of the budget things that you could use or do to prepare your home or your car or your family. And the first thing I like to say, one of the things, but it's not a budget, but the first thing we must learn to do is communicate with God Almighty. Prayer is the key to everything. So if you have your prayers intact, you have your faith intact, you're going to survive. Okay, so now I will start. One of the budget things, that something that everybody uses almost every day, is money. We always go to the store, and you always have change. So start putting your change in a jar, a bowl, because in a few days, you're not going to be able to go to ATM. You're not going to be able to go to the bank. You're not going to have Cash App or PayPal or your debit card, but you got that change in that bowl, or you got that change in that bag or in that box or in your drawer, or wherever you choose to use it, because you're going to be able to use that cash. It might help to save your life or to barter with someone else. Okay, along with that, the dollar stores. Everybody just about in the community has a dollar store in their community, either a dollar store, a Dollar General, or whatever the name of the store that where you don't spend a lot of money at in your community. And in that store, you can get a first aid kit, or you can put a first aid kit together, because they all have first aid items like alcohol, peroxide, bandages, gauze. And so you can put those things together in your own kit, or you can buy a little portable first aid kit and put it together. But this is something that you need to have at all times in your home. Like brother was talking about, the to-go bag, you need to have that in your to-go bag to put in your car, or your to-go bag that you might keep underneath your bed or in your closet. Also in the dollar store, you can get the toiletries, the toilet paper, your soap. You can get, you might not want to use the toothpaste, but in an emergency, you might have to. But if you go to the dollar store and just check around and see the things that you can use to put your emergency kit together. Also, you can go to your army supply stores. to check on things, the items. If you don't have a list, you can go online and look up a list and go on YouTube for everything and get a list of some of the things that you might need. You can go on Craigslist, and Craigslist always has a list that says things for free. So if you have a fireplace, you can get firewood. You might even be able to get a bike, because right when we have a disaster, you might not be able to use your car or your truck. So you can get a bike. A lot of times they give those items away free. So check out Craigslist. Yeah. Also, be aware of your surroundings. And so you want to check out what type of weather things happen in your city. Do we usually have hurricanes, earthquakes, or floods? So you want to try to maybe get a rubber raft, and you can maybe get that on Craigslist for a little bit or nothing. Or a lot of times if you drive up and down the neighborhood, since the seasons are getting better and warmer, they have a lot of garage sales this time of year, and you might be able to get those things for a little under $25 that you may need. And, like, for example, a plastic bag that you can get, a Ziploc bag, one that closes very well, from the dollar store, you want to make sure that you be able to put your important papers in some kind of sealed plastic or container or in your to-go bag, but you still want it in a waterproof container or item so that you have the things that you need, like your addresses, your Social Security, copy of your driver's license, copy of the birth certificates, things of that nature. And it also would be a good idea to maybe mail those items off to someone who doesn't live with you so you'll have those copies someplace else. Or even in another city, it might be to your aunts or your uncles or your grandmas, and they'll have those things for you if you have to leave. That's a suggestion. Find a safe place in your room, in your house. Make a safe room. You say, well, how will I make a safe room? Well, you can use plastic bags that you can get from the dollar store or from any discount store to put up to your windows or on your walls. You can use blankets that you can get from the secondhand store. Secondhand stores are a great source of things where you can get for survival. You'd be surprised with some of the things that you might find in a secondhand store. Like, for example, Sterno Heat. You can get that at the dollar store. A lot of times, secondhand store have those things also. You want a stove that you can purchase, but you don't need electricity for. One thing that you want to do when you're putting things for survival, you want to focus on everything that operates either off batteries, but no electricity. At the dollar store, you can get the tools that you need, so you know how to turn off your utilities. The dollar store is a very resourceful place to get the things that you may need. Also, you can check out your neighborhood Red Cross or some of your community centers where you can make sure you have a first aid training, a CPR training. That's something that's definitely needed that we should all get and make sure that our family knows. You should have family meetings with your relatives, or it might be neighbors, maybe you don't have relatives, where you know where you're going to have a safe place to go when there's an emergency or there's a certain word that you say and everybody knows where to go at that time. And that could save your life. But you can also get, like, flashlights, batteries, whistles. These things you can get from the dollar store. So when people say, well, I don't have the money, you do have the money. Okay, so you say, well, it's a disaster. And your water's off, your lights are off, your gas is off. So if you save water, like we all wash clothes, so if you buy the liquid soap, save those, fill them up with water, because that's the water you're going to need for washing up. You don't want to use your drinking water for brushing your teeth if you don't have to, or for washing yourself up, excuse me, because you do want regular water for brushing your teeth. I apologize for that. But those are things that you can save on the bottled water, or you can get a real nice, clean garbage can and put outside to collect rainwater, and you can use that to wash or to take care of your family. Also, when you with your family, when I say held your family meetings, make sure that you have a list of all your relatives' phone numbers and addresses, and they have yours. Because when there's a disaster, you're not going to have your phone. I know we depend on our phone a lot, but in a few days, first thing usually goes is communication. So we need to put those things in place while we can. Also, you can contact FEMA. FEMA will send you information free, and this is information that you can share with people in your community and with your family. Also, that's available for us right now is 211, and 211 is an international number, and they will answer your questions 24 hours a day. So if you need help with anything or finding something, they will do their best to try to help you. While we still can use those services, we should. But now when it comes to dealing with food, you want to try to store, if you don't know how to can, and you don't have anybody available that does canning, and you have to resort to buying canned goods, then make sure you have a can opener. And they have those things at the dollar store, but you want to get, like, dry goods, dry fruits, dry vegetables. And those are some of the things you can dry out yourself also. But if you have things like navy beans, lentils, and you don't have access to cooking, but you do have access to water. Lentil beans take 3 to 4 days to sprout, so you can use sprouting to help keep your family alive and also have something fresh and green to eat. Now, for example, when it comes to dealing with toiletries, and you say, well, how are we going to relieve ourselves? What about the restroom? And the water's not flowing. Well, at this time, restaurants are still open. And a lot of restaurants they sell pickles and things that come in buckets. And a lot of times they throw those buckets away, or you can knock on the door and ask them, can they save you a bucket? Those buckets can be used for waste. And all the plastic bags that you get from the grocery stores, you can save those bags, because those are the bags you can use for waste. And then also, while we still have access to going to some of the garden and lawn shops or stores, you can get you some lime. Lime breaks down waste. Also, you can maybe use some sawdust. And these are things you can use that you don't have to leave your home. But if you start buying these things now, you say, well, how can I afford all these things? Every time you go to the store, save a dollar. And use a dollar to get something, a pack of batteries or an extra bag of beans or an extra bottle of oil or an extra bottle of water. Make sure you have bleach. Bleach doesn't cost a lot, but it was hard to find last year. But as things get worse again, it's going to be hard to find bleach. It's going to be hard to find alcohol. So when you go to the dollar store, buy an extra bottle of bleach. Buy an extra box of soap, extra box of baking soda or vinegar, because those things are very good for cleansing. So use your money wisely. And for example, when summer's coming and you say, well, I don't have the tools or I can't afford to buy the seeds for gardening, but starting today, you can maybe save the seeds from the food that you eat. And those seeds can be used to start your garden. Well, I don't have a backyard. But you live in an apartment where you can make gardens out of flower pots or anything plastic that'll hold water or anything that you can use to, even a bucket that you could put a drain hole in and use your balcony or either your living room. But there's no reason why we can't have some kind of fresh garden in our homes or herbs. Save your coffee cans, the real coffee cans. Coffee cans can be turned into a miniature stove if you cut out or punch out a hole and put external heat in it and some kind of grate on top. You can use that. One thing that's available to get now while we still have our cell phones is a power saver or a power base. Sometimes it's sold at the dollar store. Sometimes you can get it at Walmart or Walgreens. It will help save the power on your phone for as long as you can. Make sure you have a car attachment where you maybe can charge your phone in your car for as long as we can. And if you can get an inexpensive walkie-talkie, because maybe you can't afford a power radio, but walkie-talkies usually have a radio band on there where you can still talk to people or find out about the weather or what's going on in your city. So make sure that someone in your family has some kind of radio. You can go to the secondhand store and get a radio. A lot of those so-called dollar stores in our community where they're owned by other people in the community where they say it's a dollar, but it's not. And a lot of them have those old radios. They have old radios of things that you can buy, and those things you can use in your home or share with your family. So I think that's some of the things that I'd like to share. Unless someone has questions, I'd be happy to answer or help in any way, but I'm going to stop there.
Well, Sister Sajda Maryam Muhammad, first of all, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be our guest this afternoon, this evening on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. I'm Brother Yusuf Muhammad, and I'm Brother Rudolph's little brother. He's my big brother. And Brother Rudolph is multitasking, and so he's actually in the process of transporting a patient. He'll get back on as soon as he possibly can. I want to thank you for being a pioneer on whose shoulders I stand and my wife stands. Those of us who came, all praises due to Allah, who came in and on after the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was blessed by Allah to rebuild the nation after 1977. So we thank Allah for you and the sacrifice of yourself and your family that we would be able to stand on your shoulders as we speak.
All praises due to Allah.
Yes, all praises due to Allah. I want to thank, on behalf of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, Sister Asia. You know, she knows she's not really a guest. She's family for sure. But
yes,
she's just such a beautiful human being. And, you know,
yes,
her introduction of yourself is it was so beautiful. But then, you know, the information you shared with us was so comprehensive and so beautiful. I mean, when you talk about disaster preparedness on a budget, I can't, you know, and I've been in this, I have spent 30 years in the fire service. I'm retired from the fire service. And, you know, to stay relevant, Brother Rudolph asked me to work with him on this program. So I've been engaged for maybe the last 5 years or so on this program, and I study, but I've never heard a list like you gave it today. We want to thank Allah for you and for the content you shared with our listening audience. I want to say to our listening audience, for those who are on the line, you can press 1 on your phone pad and you'll be brought into the studio if you have any questions for Sister Sajda Maryam Muhammad, our dear sister, who gave such a beautiful list of, number one, communicate with an almighty power, God, by way of prayer. And then when she starts putting, telling you to put your change, as we oftentimes say, she's just bearing witness when disaster strikes, it doesn't pay to have any big bills. Have the smaller denominations to get more, for more value out of the money that you have. Go to dollar stores for your first aid kits and alcohol and peroxide and the like. Be aware of your surroundings. In other words, know the logistics of where you live. Find a safe place in your house. You can go to secondhand stores to pick up items focused on battery operation, tools for utility. Again, the first aid and knowing first aid and CPR and what to do if someone is choking in your home, how to extract a foreign object. In other words, have family meetings, knowing what to do. And if, in fact, she left with us, brothers and sisters, resources, you can go to FEMA.gov or ready.gov, which is FEMA's disaster preparedness website. So, my dear sister, your list that you gave us, the foods, the lentil beans, the, going to the restaurants for sanitation to get buckets or plastic bags. You know, when you said plastic bags, Sister Sajda, it reminded me of my mother. May Allah be pleased with her that,
yes, sir.
You know, she used to always save these plastic bags. And I mean, my wife does the same thing. And as a man, you know, 10 bags are what they are. As a man, 20 bags are too much. As a man, 30 bags is 40. Even though I'm into disaster preparedness, so I would say to my mother, Mom, why are you saving all of these bags? I mean, she used to save aluminum foil. And I'm like, Mom, why? She said, because I'm a child of the Depression. You don't know how it was back in the day. And as we know, Master Fahd Muhammad revealed himself in Detroit in 1930, a year after the Depression had struck. But as I matured, then I understood, you know, my mother was an angel on so many different levels. But, you know, she was preparing. She was preparing.
Yes,
and, in fact, she actually got sick the day that Superstorm
Sandy. May Allah be pleased.
Yes, yes. May Allah be pleased with
yes,
her.
Yes, sir. One thing I failed to mention, Brother Rudolph. I mean, brother, I apologize. I didn't mean to
That's
call you
okay,
Brother Rudolph.
It's all right. We the same. Brother Yusuf.
Yes,
right
sir.
Here.
Brother Yusuf, is that we got to remember our seniors. We have to remember
That's
our
right.
seniors. You know, we need to go to their home and assess what they have or how you can put a plan together for them, because we don't want to leave them out. We want to make
right.
sure they're included, and we want to make sure we watch out for them and check on them. But put a plan together for them, regardless of whatever their condition is, we should be responsible for making sure that they're going to survive also.
Beautiful, beautiful. You know, my wife and
Thank
I,
you.
We on a regular basis, on Fridays and Mondays, we put aside our day to be with the seniors, you know,
That's
every
blessing.
Week. And, you know, when the FOI, they asked me, well, brother, you prepared to go out with your brothers and do some soldiering and fishing? Not on Mondays and Fridays. I'm
yes,
with the
sir.
Elders, you know, and I enjoyed them so much because I realized that if I leave long enough, one day I'll be in their position. And I
yes,
hope
sir.
That, you know, a younger person comes along and gives me the attention my wife and I tried to give them because you know, some are still married. Many of them are single. And they just
That's
need
right.
somebody to talk to.
That's
in
right.
In addition to, you know, putting a plan together for them. I mean, they just go and go and go because, I mean, all of them have their reasons. But all of us know the common denominator is they have more time behind them than they have in front of them. So I thank
yes,
you
sir.
For bringing that up. Sister
Thank
Sajda.
You.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes. So,
praise to Allah.
Yes, all praise is due to Allah. I don't know if Sister Asi is still on the line or Brother Rudolph is back, but if any of them
have... Oh, no,
have
I'm still
any...
here.
Okay, well, I mean, if you have any questions for our dear sister, and I know that y'all know each other anyway... as we used to say in the street, y'all ain't heard me say this, but y'all go way back like four flats in the Cadillac. But I, you know, you ain't heard nothing. You know what I mean? You ain't heard nothing. But if you have a question, let me say this also before you ask Sister Sajda the question. just decided that I'm also a moderator on the 5 prayer line that takes place every morning.
Yes,
and
I hear you every morning, Brother Yusuf. I hear you every morning.
All praise to Allah, so I know I did this to Najee, but from where I'm with Michigan, man.
That's right.
Not
Mr. Double Power.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I listen. I try not to miss. I try to listen every day, brother.
Have mercy. Right. I've been busted.
Stars amongst the stars.
Allahu Akbar, sir. Yes,
the
man,
prayer line is my lifeline, brother.
Allahu Akbar. Mine too. Praise be to Allah. Sister,
yes,
I see.
Oh yes, sir. I'm locked and loaded, sister. Sister Saja. Oh yeah. By the way, Sister Saja, Sister Captain say you're doing a beautiful job. She listening in.
Tell her that just made my day.
She sent me a text. I'm
praise
like, oh Lord, our Captain listening. We better hook that up a little straighter in the car. I said, let me.
Oh, praise be to Allah.
That's right.
It's because
of the MGT training. That's right.
And
Sister Saja was an outstanding lieutenant. I came in, she was a lieutenant, and she continues now to serve the sisters. She's still an officer, still teaching, still training. She's one of those no-limit soldiers. She's not going to never die because she just keeps multiplying herself. So sharing the teachers, it takes no credit. One of the things she didn't really go into, and maybe she was saving it for a part two, but one of the things she didn't go into, one of the things she used to always teach us is how to take care of your children and prepare them for a disaster. She used
to tell us
you have to learn how to quiet your children because a time might come that your child's life could be lost to save others because you can't quiet your baby. So could you share some things on preparing for children during a disaster, Sister Saja?
Thank you. Well, let's go back to the dollar store because they have all kind of books, toys, projects for children. So you want to make sure during a disaster that you have things to keep your children busy. You want to have things to keep them quiet. And like the sister was saying, we have to train our children maybe once a week or twice a week to just sit still. Don't talk. Don't move. Just look at each other. Make no sounds because it could save their life. It could save their life. One day I saw a movie. I think it was The Diary of Anne Frank. And these Jewish people were being chased by the Germans. And to make a long story short, they couldn't stop the baby from crying. And so they all wouldn't be killed, the woman had to smother the baby because the baby wouldn't stop making noise. So ever since that movie, it's always been important to me to train your children to learn how to be quiet, to learn how to follow instructions because it could save your life, it could save their lives. So you always want to plan for your children when you're dealing with disaster, even if it's a little snack, you know, their favorite dried fruit or maybe some healthy candy, maybe that you made yourself, where you could find some that's not made out of sugar. But you want to make sure that you have things for children or their favorite cracker, you know.
Yes, two things come to mind. Yesterday I was in the bookstore. I hadn't gone to the bookstore in quite a while, but I was looking for that book, and those of us who were part of that special meeting not too long ago, remember the C1 and the C2 book the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan put up? And so I was looking for that book, but while I was in there, I was coming across certain activities, if you will, that I thought would be good for my granddaughters. And so when you talked about that, it reminded me of that. And also, movie critic in the world. I take pride in it. I usually fall asleep when the credits roll in the beginning of the movie. Don't laugh. I'm dead serious. It's terrible. But one thing I do remember about that movie, The Diary of Anne Frank, was that scene of why they had to be quiet. I don't remember anything else but that part in the movie. And so I thank you for bringing that up about preparing the children, how important it is during times of disaster. And lastly, I mean, you touched base on it about those units at the NBC learning and teaching, and, you know, whether it's cooking or canning or whether it's baking, the science of measurement, whether it's sewing. You know, we all know that there's a pre-disaster, there's a time during the disaster, and there's a post-disaster. So if you touch base on anything that comes to your mind, just besides this, for our listening audience, we would appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Well, for one, based on where you stay, I know we talked about it a little bit, it's very important to check and see, check the weather on a weekly basis to see what might be coming your way. Just like, for example, when they had the snow in Texas just a few days ago, they weren't expecting snow. So they didn't know how to stay warm. So we need to prepare ourselves as to knowing how to stay warm or how to stay cool. And, for example, this might be a really bad summer in terms of being super hot. So this is a very good time to save your money and to go on, like, online. Amazon has battery-operated fans, and they don't cost that much. But if you start putting your money together now, you can buy those things. Or, for example, we know, inshallah, winter's coming, or maybe not have left all the way, but then you can get you kerosene heaters, things of that nature. Start saving. So buy the things that you need out of season. That way they don't cost you as much money. So this is a good time of year, once it starts getting warm, and start getting your winter things. And then in the summer, in the winter, get your summer things. That'll save a lot of money. Or you can go in with family and buy things in bulk or together. That's one of the things that make me think about what you said, Brother Yusuf.
Yes, ma'am. You know, that reminds me when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us to go into, I believe it was the book of Proverbs 6 and 6, where it says, study the ant, O thou sluggard, and become wise.
Oh, yes.
For the ant prepares for the winter in the summer, and prepares for the summer in the winter. So
yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Sajid, for sharing that.
Sister
Asiya or anybody else, brothers and sisters, allow me, as we are in close to 10 minutes after 5 Eastern Standard Time, we've been blessed by our dear sister Sajda Maryam Muhammad, who's giving us a beautiful synopsis, if you will, on disaster preparedness on a budget and learn how to. So we thank Almighty God Allah for your presence today, Sister Sajda.
That's right.
You have another question you'd like to extract from my sister or anybody in our listening audience, and press number one on your phone pad, and you'll be brought into the queue.
I'm pressing number one. Can you see my hand waving? I'm
I
waving my hand.
Brother Rudolph, raise your hands like you can. Raise your hands in the air like you can.
Look, just because I'm like Arnold Horshack. Oh, ooh, 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 ooh. I know that went over some people's head, Brother Yusuf. They don't remember Welcome Back, Connor. Yeah.
Right.
Sister Sons, I just want to thank you personally for taking time out of your busy day to come on our show, grace us with your presence and with the knowledge that you have and the spirit that you gave the information in. Like I said, you know, disaster preparedness, as Brother Yusuf always says, it's like education and religion. It comes in degrees. And on our show, we constantly are repetitive, and we know that. And people call us and say, man, why y'all keep going over the same stuff?
Mm.
Because our job is to ensure that every man, woman, boy, and girl has a working knowledge of the basics of disaster. So if you, you know, in the upper echelon of this thing, and you working on your master's degree in preparedness, you know, we don't have nothing for you. I'm sorry. Because we are still in kindergarten. So it was great for you to give it the way that you gave it, because a lot of times I know I talk real fast, but the Yusuf, he'll talk real fast, and we talk in our jargon that most times we forget the listeners aren't in. My wife constantly reminds me of that. But you explained everything in plain English so that anyone that was listening could understand. And all I say to everyone that's listening, what you heard and that which you understood, now take that and go teach someone else. The best way to know that you know something is to teach it. And
yes,
a part of our security and our salvation during these times, as bad as they're going to get, is the fact that the general public, the community, will save us from being lynched by some people because, one, they expect the Muslims to know.
That's
two,
right.
They expect the Muslims to be the ones coming out to give the information.
Mm.
So if you're found doing that on a regular basis, when the disaster gets really bad and people start going really crazy, there will be some angels out there in the community that will possibly save you and your family from something happening to you. Of course, we know it's Allah's divine intervention that does it, but the people themselves will want to do it because they will attest to the fact, no, leave that one alone, because they've been out here telling us this all this time. So I just wanted to just put that out there and just, again, thank you. Brother Yusuf.
Thank you. It's been an honor. I have a couple of things I'd like to say. And that just came to me when it comes to dealing with storing food, because summer is here or just about here, excuse me, the bugs are coming out. And you say, well, how am I going to store my beans? How am I going to store my rice? And a lot of people put things in plastic. You don't want to store in plastic containers. You want to try to get you those metal garbage cans that we used to use, then you can get them at the hardware stores. But when you put those things in a can, you want to either put garlic or bay leaves in there, and that will help keep the bugs away.
Oh, man. See, more jewels right there.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah.
And you could put garlic
in your
kitchen drawer.
Jewels.
Like you're in the home, and you know how the ants are coming out. Or you know how those little brown bugs that you wonder, where did that bug come from? And you might see it in your cabinet, or you might see it on the cabinet. And then you don't see it anymore. But if you put those like in the corner of your cabinet or the corner of your drawer, a piece of garlic, they'll go away. So,
That means I'm going to have to buy some extra garlic because I don't know if I want to, you know, sacrifice my garlic for the bugs.
Oh,
I want it in my soup.
I know. Yes, sir.
I think Sister Asiya was trying to say something. Sister
Asiya? Yes, thank you.
No, I was saying that you could start hit speaking on the part two, because Sister Sajda has an endless supply of jewels that she couldn't possibly give up on one show. So you might want to plug her in again for a part two. You might want to start thinking about letting her get herself prepared, as we're down to the last 45 minutes of this show, and she has given you a thumbnail of what she has.
See, and that's why I asked my lovely wife to come on and to introduce you, because I knew I would never be able to do justice introducing you, but I knew that she would, because she knows, that's your sister. Sisters, y'all know each other intimately, and,
yes,
you know, y'all know stuff about each other, and, you know, so praise be to Allah. I'm glad that she was able to steal away from her job to come on to introduce you and to set the tone, because that energy that my wife comes with, I mean, she wake up on 10. She be talking about me. But she like that energizer bunny. You know, that's her.
Yes, she is.
That's her. In her sleep,
it's
she be
honor.
Switching. And,
well,
you know,
Brother Rudolph, that's disaster preparedness, brother, when your mindset is supposed to start off on 10. Then you can settle down if you want. But you don't start on one and try to get to 10 quick. Start
you're right.
10, like you're
right. And throttle down. Yes, sir.
Sister Sajda,
oh, praise
put up with me when I was 17, 18 years old and was very patient with me. And it'd probably be hard to believe, but there was a time when some other sisters, they thought I was a little too energized, and they told me I needed to tone it down. So I tried to tone it all the way down, and I was probably looking pretty haggard. And Sister Saja and two other of our now Diamond Pioneer sisters, they came over to me and they said, "What's going on with you? You're acting weird. You're acting strange, sister." I said, "Well, so and so did tell me to tone it down a little bit. I'm just a little too excited." They said, "Oh, no, ma'am. Allah is going to shape you how he wants you to be. No one should
That's
be
right.
telling you that. No, Allah
Praise
is going to shape
sure
you. Said, now, who did you say it was?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't want no problem." They said, "Nope, we're going to deal with it right now." They walked me over to those two sisters, asked them, "Did they say it?" Of course, they admitted they did, and they told them, "Don't bother the sister. She's new. Let Allah shape her. Don't tell her that. Don't tell her anything. She'll get her training and her class." So I thank Allah for Sister Saja never allowing anyone, even myself, to put out the light of Allah in me. And I just love her so much. She's more like a mother than a sister.
I love you, too.
But even that I have been her first officer, this is my second time being the first officer. I guess I didn't get it right. So Allah sent me back through this again. But Sister Saja is always giving me, you know, when I will move out the way for her, she's like, "No, ma'am, I'm saluting you." I'm like, "No, ma'am, I'm saluting you." Sister Saja is like, "No, you're my first officer." I'm like, "No, ma'am." But she always has shown me that love and respect that, I mean, she respects the post. It's not like, "Oh, this little kid," I remember when she came in and she didn't know how to cover her head or her backside. She doesn't remind me of my miscoming. She always encourages me to do better. And she sends me a text at least twice a week, "Be safe out there, sister. You know, be careful out there. I'm praying for you." And every time I see it, my eyes fill up with water. Because my mother is gone now, and I thank Allah for the diamonds, for the pioneers that show me that still motherly care and concern and support. So, Sister Saja knows she near and dear to my heart.
I praise this,
she's Allah. Our own children.
I love you.
Raise
their
voice
you.
To
I love
her.
You.
I be the first one to jump through the window and choke them out. You know, I don't play about Sister Saja because of the undying love she has for the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am.
Beautiful,
Hold on one second.
I think we have someone coming on
yes,
the
sir.
Line. I heard the air horn and the siren, so someone's trying to get in. welcome to Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Please state your name and how may we serve you.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Sister Fata. How are you all doing?
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Thank you. How are you?
Good. All praises be to Allah. I just had a question and also a comment as well. I remember growing up, and my mother, Sister Saja, would talk about how during security, she would have one of us or herself go out and talk about or scream and say, "Oh my God, I don't know what to do and who to go to. I don't have nothing." And then do something security-wise to make sure that people wouldn't come into the house. It was a joke. So she would do that with us when we were younger just to get us in the mindset. And also, I remember her talking about her and my father talking about the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, how he said that during those times you want to make sure that when you have to cook, that it's in the proper time. The proper time meaning not during a regular time that you would make dinner. So early in the morning, really, really late at night, things like that. So I was wondering if that was something that could be talked about right now or if it was something to be brought up around part two for the disaster preparedness part.
Well, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for that. Yes, well,
oh, yes, sir.
I guess that's a sign right there. My wife said it, and she seconded it. So that means, Sister Saja, that yes, we need a part two. We need you
yes,
to,
sir.
You know, come back, prepare whatever you want to prepare, and come back so that you can give some more of the jewels of wisdom that you are withholding.
All praise to Allah. It'd be an honor. Thank you so much. And thank you for your question, Asata. I love you.
Love you too. Thank you too a lot.
Beautiful question. I mean, we have time. If you have time, Sister Sajda, to address it a little bit,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go right ahead, man.
Yes, sir. Well, for one, you don't want to cook during dinner hours when it's that time when everybody's out trying to find food.
All right.
So you want to cook your food away from a window. If you could fill up that one room, that's your safe room, where you're blocking all any type of air that's coming in, and that would probably be the best room to cook in. But you want to either cook at prayer time or extremely late at night. Or when Brother Rasul used to say, which just doesn't sound all that great, but maybe when you have that waste bucket, you might want to put that by the window while you're cooking so they're not smelling the food. I know that's a joke that Brother Rasul always would say, but it's something that is really true. That waste bucket can be used to deter people from smelling your food.
Yes, ma'am.
I know it's not a pretty picture, but it's a picture that will save your life.
The other thing I picked up out of your daughter's question, and that's beautiful, is the fact that you and your family used to engage in role play. And role play is critically important, what to do, when to do, like having situational awareness. And that's important, you know, developing certain set scenarios. And, you know, as a retired firefighter, you know, we always encourage the young people and their parents to have fire drills like they do at the school. And then have, as you mentioned before, if your family has to evacuate, you know, there may be a whistle that you use or an air horn, something simple but something that could save your life. Would you be able to share the importance of role-playing and scenarios?
Yes, sir. For something that should be done at least once a month, either with your family or even with your neighbors. But you should sit down and try to act out what something might happen where all the food was destroyed or you can't get back in the house right now. And you would say, well, what would you do? Are you good? For example, do you have good communication with your neighbors? Because as far as you can go is next door. Because you can't go down the street. They got it blocked off. You can't go up the street. That's blocked off. So what kind of communication do you have with your neighbors next door? Have you been communicating? Do you speak? Do you smile? Do you share food with them? And to me, that's very important. You know, at least know your neighbor's name. And at least when you go to the store, buy an extra box of whatever or a bag or whatever and just give it to them. It doesn't have to be for a reason other than the fact that that's your sister, your brother, and they live next door. So when the time gets bad, they know, oh, wow, they've been good to us. They've always given us food. Maybe they have a bag to share or maybe we can share a bag with them. That's one suggestion.
Beautiful.
Scenario. Yes, sir.
Excellent. Well, my dear sister, we don't want to take up all of your time, but we thank you.
Thank you.
If there are no more questions, then certainly we want to give you an opportunity to make a closing statement. And again, you know, as they say in Spanish, mi casa, su casa. You're more than welcome to come back and share with our listening audience. It seems like Sister Asi and Brother Rudolph have already recruited you for part number two. I'll just sit back and wait for you to bless us with your presence once again. Thank you, Sister Sajda Mariam.
I'd like to say thank you, all presidents alive. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. I pray that I've been able to help someone with some of the knowledge that Allah has blessed me with. But one thing I have to say is remember, the key to success is prayer, that communication with the three. And in the name of Master Farouk Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Sparkham, you can't go wrong. You have to depend on in those names to be successful. But just remember, the word is not I can't or we're not able. The word is we can. We are going to. We're going to accomplish it. We can do this. So with love and understanding and we lock arms in truth and in righteousness, with our family, we will survive. And I just said, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam, man. Beautiful. Brother Rudolph?
Yes, sir. Sister Sia, do you have any closing remarks? Because I know you out here on the highway, out here working.
All praises due to Allah. I just once again want to thank my sister, my auntie, my mama, Sister Sajda Mariam Muhammad for taking on one more. She already has a good number of children, and she said, can you expand your breast? And she did, and she loves all of us, and everyone that heard her today or will play the replay are going to be so honored to receive what Allah blessed her to give. I just want to close out by making one note of something she said that I hope people didn't let it slip past them when she said have a family code word or password. This is very important, especially for our children, for all of us, but especially for our children. If the alarm goes off at home, or if the family member calls you and they're acting strange, you can ask them that password, and that can let you know if they're in danger or not. Or if you want someone to pick up your children and they've been told not to go with anyone else, as you should tell them that. That person could have the password and be able to pick them up, and they'll know this is a safe pickup and that there's nothing going on. We should have those family code words and passwords so that everybody knows everything is okay. When my boys were little, there was a code word, and they knew if someone came to get them and they didn't know the code word, do not go with them no matter what they said. Your mom is sick. She told us to come. It didn't matter who it was. If they didn't know the password, the code word, if we start using safety and disaster preparedness techniques every day, then we don't have to wonder if we're going to remember them when that day comes, not if it comes, but when. So I just wanted to make sure nobody missed that jewel she dropped about having family code words and passwords. Thank you for allowing me to introduce a sister, an officer, a believer. That means so very much to me. May Allah continue to bless the both of you to continue to put on such an informative and necessary show. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Be safe, Abdul. Be careful.
Thank you. Well, brothers and sisters, go ahead, Brother Rudolph.
Oh, no, go ahead, brother. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say how much a blessing it was to hear from your wonderful wife and her contribution and introducing our dear sister, Sister Sajda Mariam Muhammad, and having her bless us with her presence, with the content and the context, as you mentioned earlier, so beautiful, so beautiful. Beginning with the first tool in your toolkit is prayer, communication
right.
with the Most High God, and as she concluded, with prayer and everything in between. We thank her for her wonderful daughter calling in and bearing witness to role play scenarios and drills that she remembered as a child. And
yes, sir.
For your wife to compliment her and what she gave us. My God, what a beautiful opportunity this week to hear from our dear sister. And I'm anxiously awaiting part two, as we all
yes,
say.
Yes, you and me both,
Allah,
brother.
Lord willing, I'm awaiting part two because part one was such a blessing from Allah. So I'll let you, Brother Rudolph, share with our listening audience what has come through your screen in the past week or so, and I'll make a few announcements as well as we segue into the last half hour of this week's program.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I just wanted people to pay attention to the litany of news reports that are out there in every news stream and medium about the truth behind these vaccines and the startling numbers of people who are having situational or health crises after taking these so-called vaccines. You know, I have to try and remain a statesman in my comments about this, and to be compassionate to people suffering. However, I always say that ignorance can be cured with knowledge. There is no comfort or bulwark or combat for stupidity. And stupidity is to know the truth and do the opposite or go against it. That's stupidity. And with that, when that happens, you deserve what you get. I'm sorry. That's just Brother Rudolph talking. And you may disagree with people that's listening, may disagree with me. You think I'm harsh, insensitive? No. I'm realistic. There's never been one single self-determined effort by the larger community of people on this planet to do anything on behalf of black people. Why the hell would you think that they want to create a vaccine and they're pushing you to take it, want to pay you to take it, and your dumb butt go out there and take it? Why? All right, I'll stop with that. I'll stop with that. You know, again, that's just Brother Rudolph talking. I mean, we can go down the page talking about what has happened to us in the past. What has happened to us in the past on behalf of the medical establishment. Get the book Medical Apartheid and read just the first, before you even get to chapter one, where it talks about the horrific atrocities that these well-to-do, well-known, affluent medical colleges, how they got their start. It's bone chilling. It will make you so mad when you read it and learn what our ancestors went through for them to now be able to sit around and be called the father of this and the father of that. You know, but again, stay away from these vaccines. They're not for you. They don't mean any good to you. Get back to your relationship with your creator. That is your best defense against whatever is going on. Your relationship with your creator. I'll leave it at that, Brother Yusuf.
Yeah, what was that, Brother Rudolph? What was that promotional of that clothing store back in the day in New York, something about an educated consumer.
Sims.
Yeah.
An educated consumer is our best customer. Yes, sir.
Right.
That's right.
So we just, you know, brothers and sisters, look, Brother Rudolph is super passionate about it, and so am I, but we just want to deal with what has been. We're not just talking to be talking. There has been a policy in this country on depopulation. You look it up for yourself. The National Security Study, Memorandum 200, where they have documents about and policy about depopulation. And then you can go and investigate billionaire Bill Gates, who's a leading proponent and financier for vaccines, is an open advocate and strong supporter of depopulation. You look it up for yourself. What about the World Health Organization, which Bill Gates in 1993 produced the tetanus vaccine that was later found to sterilize women in Kenya? You go look it up for yourself. What about the big Brzezinski, top foreign policy advisor to President Barack Obama, and National Security Advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who advocated population control by any means? What about Planned Parenthood, founded by Margaret Sanger, who was a world leader in depopulation through sterilization of black and poor people? You go look it up for yourself. And I mentioned Tuskegee syphilis experiment, the TG626, scientists getting their kicks with rubbish and digs, or guinea pigs for vicious experiments. Those are just some. We run in the vote. Dr. J. Mariam Sims, known as the father of modern gynecology, gained notoriety through experimentation on enslaved black women throughout or without, pardon me, the use of anesthesia. Look it up for yourself. The Hamburg prison experiment, operated by the Pennsylvania Department of Prisons in Philadelphia from 1951 to 1974, used black inmates as guinea pigs for pharmaceutical, dermatological, and biochemical weapons experimentation and research. Look it up for yourself. There's, I mean, it goes on and on. I could name a few more, but I'll leave it at that, just to buttress what Brother Rudolph's passion was bringing to us. And as he talked about ignorance, the root word to ignorance is ignore. So what good is it that we tell you what we tell you and you ignore it? One thing's for sure, you'll never be able to come back and ask us, oh, Brother Rudolph, Brother Youssef, why didn't you tell us it was going down the way it's going? I mean, the scripture says we got to get the blood off our hands, the duty of a civilized man. We're trying our best to bring knowledge, wisdom, understanding, culture, and refinement to you. But our understanding only comes from Almighty God, Allah. But you have to take that first step in order to get it. So I thank you, Brother Rudolph, for bringing that. Also, brothers and sisters, let me say this. And one of the things the subject matter experts are now finding out, and as you know, I'm a member of the, for our consistent listeners, the Black Family Summit, which is a part of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century under the leadership of Dr. Ron Daniels, and the Black Family Summit, which has come out of the mind of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan during Hurricane Katrina, where he met with Dr. Ron Daniels and President Emeritus of the Black Social Work, Baba Leonard Dunson, and asked them what black organizations together to do as a collective, again, community investment, community involvement, community partnership. And so 25 or so black organizations in America got together, many of them being the black psychiatrists, black psychologists. They had a webinar coming up on March 26th, which I believe is next Friday, 8 o'clock to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because during this COVID, this past year, you know, I'll just read the letter that just came through my screen earlier today. And it says, peace to the Black Family Summit, presidents, allies, and friends of the Black Family Summit. As we prepare for the season of spring, we have an abundance of growth and renewal.
Well, I don't think we can announce it or anything.
One year ago, we experienced the beginning of our understanding of power and devastation of the coronavirus. Within weeks, this virus would become the COVID-19 pandemic across the globe and would reshape our economic, political, and social life and reveal the economic and health vast disparities experienced by our people. What is often rarely expressed is the ways in which this public health crisis has exacerbated the emotional health disparities that are prevalent in our communities. This month's focus for our advanced gathering calls us to convene for the purposes of engaging more deeply this alarming reality and its resulting impact on our communities, including the increased rate of suicide among our people, determining how we as a community might move into action. It is our deepest hope that you will join us Friday, March 26, 2021, from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our upcoming Black Family Summit Advance entitled When Trauma Hits Home, the Impact of Suicide on Black Communities. And it gives the link. It says our time together will allow us to share narratives, learn more about our theme, and develop organizing strategies for future actions. We will have the opportunity to hear from researchers, practitioners, and from each of you regarding what you are seeing in your communities. Also, because this is the problem throughout the African diaspora, we will also be joined by some of our international brothers and sisters. Let's gather to sound the alarm on the mental health crisis, our nation, and develop strategies for moving our people towards greater healing. To enable us to appropriately time our agenda to hear from all voices, ensure space for robust dialogue, we encourage you to please register promptly. We look forward to seeing you. And so this is from the Black Family Summit Advance. When Trauma Hits Home, the Impact of Suicide on Black Communities. And so critically important, brothers and sisters, they're going to have subject matter experts speak to it. Again, reflections. And if you desire to join, we'll make sure we get the link to you that you can join on. I forwarded it to Brother Rudolph, and I'll forward it to our Black Hole Radio LLC family so that they'll have it as well. So that's a critical announcement I wanted to share. Again, if there's anyone in our listening audience that desires to come in the last 15 minutes or so of this week's program, it's been an honor to host as always, and we thank Almighty God, Allah, for Sister Sajda, Maryam Muhammad for being our guest this week, Sister Asiya Muhammad for her contribution, as always, sacrificing herself that Brother Rudolph could do what he does by Allah's grace and mercy, and Brother Rudolph in and of himself. Man is multitasking, you know, got his boots on the ground, transporting patients that are medically in need of assistance. And we're taught that we can't provide the services that we've been blessed to provide without compassion. So we thank Almighty God, Allah, for Brother Rudolph, that he could do what he does and still find it in his heart and in time to come and serve as the co-host. But until we bring him back, let me also say that if you have not viewed the disaster preparedness workshop from this past Saviors Day Convention 2021, entitled How Strong is the Foundation? Can We Survive? I strongly recommend if you can get on NOI.org and access it, or I know at one time, Brother Abdul Qiyam, who's one of the important and integral believers over the Department of Information, he was putting the workshops on YouTube. But because of, you know, the propaganda campaign, they took many of the workshops he put on and took them off of YouTube, as did they suspend I did Brother Ben X for a week or so, because they're representing the word of truth as Almighty God Allah is blessing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to give it. So if you get a chance, they did a part one and a part two, but the part one I was able to view spoke about situational awareness. In other words, knowing what to do, when to do, how to do, where to do, as our dear Sister Sajda said to us so beautifully today. That was given by Sister Lisa Muhammad, situational awareness. Then our brother Naeem Muhammad spoke on cybersecurity, critically important, cybersecurity. Then Brother Rudolph gave a wonderful exhibition, if you will, on CPR, what to do when someone is choking, how to use an AED machine, automatic external defibrillator, assisted by his son. Beautiful, beautiful exhibition of what to do, CPR, choking, AED. Then there was the brother, I didn't get his name. He spoke about the importance of improving your door, your windows in terms of locks and strike plates and replacing certain screws, improving your lighting and security systems around your home. Home security is a must. It's not a should. It's a must. Don't leave any wiggle room, as Brother Solaritus talked about it. Again, it buttressed what we heard today. He gave various talking points or action items, should I say, we should consider. Guess what number one was? Prayer. Number two, building alliances. Number three, installing security systems. Number four, you must have a united front in your house. Your family, as Sister Asiya said, must be on the same page. You're going to have offensive attack developments and defensive attack developments. Number five, learn how to use a weapon in your household. He actually said, have something in each room. You know, home invasions are at an all-time high. And when disaster strikes, as our dear Sister Sajda said earlier, be away from your windows. Don't be cooking by the window. That's inviting people who have bad intentions to your home. But you should learn how to use the weapons in your home. Put a lot of different things in a lot of different places around your home. Role-playing scenarios, as we said earlier, is critically important. He buttressed again. He called it a panic room, isolation, where to hold the line. You know, in the White House, the president has a bunker, a safe zone. I talked about that mindset. Being on 10, start on 10, as if everything is critical, all general orders are in effect, then work your way down if you feel as though the circumstances avail themselves. But be on 10. The life you save may be your own. And then we had Sister Tequila, who did a workshop on time well spent. And, of course, well, you don't know it, but I'm telling you, it bears witness to what our guest today said. Because she talked about, number one, find ways to optimize home time with yourself and others, whether it be the children or the seniors. Number two, know how to engage children through virtual fatigue, you know, because of the sheltering in place and the pestilence from heaven. Our children and ourselves are doing a lot of the communicating with our schools, with our workplaces, with our loved ones by way of Zoom or whatever it is, Skype. And sometimes that can actually fatigue you, the parents, the children. Learn how to engage your children through virtual fatigue, Sister Tequila said. Number three, make home stations if you are in a limited space. Studio apartment, 1-2-bedroom apartment. You still can make home stations, places where you can identify doing certain things that will help with peace and tranquility in your home. Four, she said, balance the home for a peaceful existence. You know, we have a study guide in the Nation of Islam, study guide number four, the struggle for balance, the maizan, if you will. Balance the home for a peaceful existence. And lastly, she talked about, as Sister Sajda talked about, physical activities toward coping, whether it's martial arts, tai chi, judo, karate, any martial art, whether it's exercise, stretching, calisthenic weights, whether it's walking, getting on your bike, physical activities toward coping. All of these things are critically important, critically important. So I just wanted to share with us, our listening audience, the importance of considering these things as we move forward. Because, again, once we learn, then we're obligated to teach. Each one reach one, teach one. To teach is to touch a life forever, as my mother used to say. And, again, to reiterate my father, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The life you save may be your own. So I don't know if Brother Rudolph is back. Oh, I know I got our dear brother engineer, Brother Forrest, in the studio. I don't know what's on your mind today, how important it is to share with our
listeners. Assalamu alaikum,
brother. Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Yes,
Brother Rudolph is pulled away. Brother Rudolph got pulled away on an emergency, so he had to
okay.
He had to let go of the line. No, but I want to thank all the participants of the show today. It was always a wonderful show, and I want to ask our listening audience to really go into the archives of Black Hole Radio, and you will find Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. This show, for the last 5 years, has been talking and talking and bringing subject matter experts on to enhance your survival awareness and skills. There's a lot of things that we have to talk about in the next few weeks about living in an apartment building, how to live clandestine, because once you start cooking, those who don't have food will break down your door. And that's why one part of the survival is to train the people around you, because if you don't, they're going to soon become your enemies. And when it really gets hostile, they will become your enemies. So that's one thing we're going to have to start talking about, Brother Yusuf. How do you train other people? Why would you want to engage the community? As you know, part of any disaster plan is identifying the stakeholders and then coming up with a plan together. Well, if you got food and your neighbor doesn't have food, I give it about 15 days in an emergency, they're going to be banging down your door. And if you have just enough food for your family, they're going to knock down your door. So we might as well go ahead and work together now in this time
That's
of
right.
tranquility and get everybody on the same sheet of music. I live in New York City. I'm constantly trying to get to know my neighbors, speak to them, and eventually – in the next few days, I will approach them about coming into my home so we can show them how to can, some of the things they need, how to grow plants in your home. These apartments, not every apartment in New York City is spacious like you see in the movies. So we have to work within the confines of the apartment. But if you have everybody on the same floors or 5 floors or 6 floors of your building on the same mission, then you can use your rooftop. Your rooftop becomes your outdoor garden in the summertime, and everybody can harvest together. There's different things, brother. I got a lot of things in my mind. This show has made me think. Sister Saja, I will be at the dollar store tomorrow morning with my mask on because we've been ordering our supplies online. I'm like, wow, we just ordered a whole bunch of peroxide and gauze online, and I never thought about the dollar store. I'm on my way to the dollar store and keep some of that money and keep some cash and coins in the house. So that's it, brother. Great show as usual. Brother Rudolph, we'll be back next week with you. Thank everybody for listening and participating. Brother, go ahead and do that voodoo that you do, close it out, and may Allah bless everyone and keep everyone safe and sound. And one last thing. My son got COVID and me and Brother Rudolph were talking during the week. Do not send your family, whether it be your mother, your grandmother, yourself, into these shelters that they send to tell you to go to where people have COVID. You got to learn how to break down your home and come up with a protocol that you can shelter somebody, even in a small apartment, you can isolate them and come up with a routine where they don't deal with it. Then we wipe down. When my son goes to the bathroom gets clean, it gets wiped down. He stays in his room. His food is brought to his door. We knock on his door, and he opens the door with his mask on. He takes his food, and then we, you know, wipe down the hallway. It's a way to do this because you send your family into these hospitals and other places. You just turn them over to the will of our open enemy, and you don't want to do that because a lot of this stuff can be healed at home. Minister Farrakhan said there were 14 natural remedies to combat COVID, and maybe we'll get into it next week. Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Forrest, and please thank your wonderful family, Sister Yvette, your children, Brother Jason, and the staff of Black Hole Radio, LLC. Thank you, brother, for all that you do, sacrificing your time. And I, too, concur with you, encouraging our listening audience to go to the archives of Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. In fact, what made me read the announcement of the Black Family Summit is interesting that it came to me today because yesterday I got a call from Brother Mike Brown, who's a retired firefighter out of Buffalo, New York, who was on the show last week, and he had seen a particular news clip that talked about the increase of suicide rates in the Black community, particularly during this past year with this pandemic. And so critically important, you know, he asked us if we had thought about doing a program on such, and I was telling him we have touched base on that with different shows with our dear sister Dr. Nell Prim, psychiatrist, sister Dr. Patricia Newton, who mysteriously passed away about 6 months ago or so, maybe 4 months ago. They'll all be pleased with her. Representatives from the Black social workers, the Black psychiatrists, the Black psychologists, and other subject matter experts on that particular subject. But we can do another show on that, be it the will of Allah, as well as offering some of the alternatives of the therapies, whether it's with Dr. Aleem Muhammad, with the Paximmune, or others, you know, get a representative from Cuba, or Dr. Akili, or Brother Tariq Muhammad, who are doctors, scientists, and researchers, Sister Dr. Farrakhan, who studied and got her degree in Cuba. Maybe we need to consider having them on if their schedule permits. So I thank you, Brother Forrest, for your contribution, for all that you do with praying for your son, as we're praying for everyone who is challenged in some way, and all of us are going through some type of trial, but we are also praying for those who may have recently lost loved ones. You know, just keep your head up. As Brother Minister Jabril used to say, even though it might be a cloudy day, the sun still exists above the clouds. So let's stay optimistic. I believe the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We thank Brother Rudolph for his contribution, for his multitasking, and his family. So next week, brothers and sisters, same time, same station. Feel free to join us on Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Every Friday we come before you, inshallah, Lord willing, from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And even with these words used by me, I guess it's still the way it used to be. The strength of a nation is its family, and real freedom is responsibility, the ability to respond legitimately by any means necessary. Thank you for allowing me to serve in this capacity. As I leave you in peace, assalamu alaikum.
somebody as I travel alone. I cannot help somebody in a world or a soul. And roll. shall not. While I'm singing their song.